folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. It's a kind of a damp day outside, but it's a good, the capital S-O-N sun is shining in here. And I see it in your faces, and God bless you for being here. I want to ask you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. And while we're all getting there, I'll tell you this little funny thing I heard this week. And this lady was before the judge, and she had stolen a can of peaches. And the judge asked her how many peaches was in that can. And she said, seven. And he said, well, ma'am, he said, I'm going to penalize you 7 days in jail, 1 day for each peach. And her husband said, oh, Your Honor, Your Honor, she stole a can of peas too. Well, I'm glad you didn't steal a can of peas, but you're here. Yeah. God has been good to you. I can just look upon you and know that God has been good to you this week. And I just hope that you've been good to God. What I'd like for us to do is we turn to chapter 6 of the book of Matthew. We haven't done this for some time. But we have what we call the Lord's Prayer. And this really is a guideline for us to pray. And so I'd like for us to use this morning as we begin. So everybody turn to their less than recite together the Lord's Prayer. And it says, after this manner, therefore pray you, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Great God we have. Let's worship Him.
For our opening song this morning, we're going to use 225, singing the first and last verse, and then you'll have a prayer. Let's all stand.
God, our gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for another day of life, another opportunity to come together to just honor you, dear God, and to, through our voices of singing and praying and looking into your word, to just honor you, dear God. You've been so good to us. This week has not been any different from other weeks. You have blessed us beyond our deserving. You have blessed us beyond our comprehending, really. I look around and I just say, how could a God love such people as us in the way you do? You're such a great God, a wonderful God, a compassionate God, a loving God, a forgiving God, and a God of promise. We thank you for that. We thank you for the people that's gathered here this morning, realizing that you are the one and only true God. You are the living God. You're the God who is able to make us what we ought to be and to bring us into the right relationship through Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. So Heavenly Father, as we come together this morning, we rejoice because we have so many good people of this community that's gathered here in the name of Christ. We want to demonstrate their love toward you. Let the whole world we know that we serve a risen Savior and a great God. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray and ask your presence this morning. Amen.
Now for communion, he'll be using number 302, first and third verse.
There are times as we travel this earth shifting sand as the growth of a ransom of a man. Not the things that matter the most in this world, they can never be held in our hand. I believe
Father in heaven, we thank you again for another opportunity to grant us together in your house. Thank you now for the opportunity we have to gather around our table and our remembrance. Be with us through the further exercise. Be with each one through the sake of the emblems. Comfort and store us back along to our normal health again, if it be your will. These words we ask in thy name. Amen.
Amen.
Our most holy Lord and Savior, we thank you for your blessings, for your healing hands, for your guidance. We ask thee, Lord, to forgive our sins. And Lord, we come to thee asking thee, Lord, to place your healing hands upon Homer and Benny this week, Lord. God, guide the doctors, to direct them to do what is thy will, to uplift them, Lord, to heal them as only you can, Lord. We ask your blessings upon them and upon all those who bless them, Lord. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, folks. Once again, good morning to each and every one. I wanted to make mention here, we have Zach over here we haven't seen for a long time and his family. We welcome them. And then back here we have Mr. Gay and his wife. Good, we're glad to have you with us this morning. And we welcome you. We're always good to see you, folks. We pray that the worship service will be a blessing to you, that the Lord will touch you in a very special way. God is so good. And we're so thankful that we have this opportunity to be together to praise him and give him thanks for his goodness. So welcome to each and every one this morning. A couple of things, Chairman. Boy, I'm so sorry that I missed Friday night. You know, Robert just had to do it, you know. He just rubs it in on me. And Friday night, I looked at my phone, and there was a big picture of the table that was sitting there. My. You know, it just killed my joy. Not be here. But hey, another thing, you didn't get to play cornhole, did you? Well, we're still on the run. We'll get them, Omer. We'll get them. And so, but we're glad that you were here and had a good time. And we always look forward to that time coming together in our special times. It's always a special time when the family, church family, gets together and just enjoys a good time together. It's good. And we appreciate you people that participate in that, and we hope that more would come and enjoy it like you folks do, and we do. So thank you for that. And then also, looking at our announcements there, we have, which one did I have here? Okay, here we are. Bible study this evening at 4 o'clock. And then His Majesty Messengers over at the Contetta. Some of you, several of you people are going to be there. That's participating in that. It's going to be at 3 o'clock over to Stamping Ground Christian Church. And they have that every year, a couple times, don't they? And so you, 3 o'clock this afternoon, they invite you to be over there and enjoy that. Okay. Nothing else going taking place this week, as far as we know. Good things are going to be happening, and we know that. So let us consider those on our prayer list this morning, and we have several yet on our prayer list, and so thankful that we have a God that hears prayers and answers prayers and is so good to our people and to those that we are concerned about. And each and every one of those on our prayer list, we want you to be mindful of, want you to be concerned for, and help us and share with us from time to time. Timmy Carr passed away. We've had him on our prayer list for some time. And Timmy passed away this week, and so continue to pray for that family. You know, it takes a long time, and we never get over losing loved ones and so forth, but it's a tremendous thing on a family and so forth. So pray for them, certainly. And then we have missing Virgil this morning, and Virgil has this allergy thing that's just kind of really took a hold on him. And we hope he's doing better, but he's absent from us. Pauline is here, not with us this morning, and oftentimes it's because she can't be in the weather and so forth that it's not too good for her, so we understand that. And who else is missing this morning from us? And had a couple others here I wanted to make mention of here on my list. Okay, Agnes McKinney, we've had her on our prayer list for a long time, and she is now unresponsible to be able to communicate, and so be in prayer for her. Your sister Donna doing okay? She's still rehabbing?
She's at home, but she's still
okay. We'll continue to pray for her. Continue to pray for her. We know many times that we've had people on our prayer list, and we've just seen how God's hand works in their lives, and it's just so wonderful. So all the rest of the folks on our prayer list, well, keep them in your mind and in your heart and in your prayers. Also, remember those who care for those in the care homes. Tremendous job. Those in the hospital and the nurses and so forth. Sometimes I think we kind of forget about them. But they labor and they take care of things and so forth. They do the necessary things that, and sometimes they have to go the second mile and so forth. So be in prayer for them that God will strengthen them, help them, guide them, and so they can do those things and do it in a good, kind, gentle, loving way and such. And the leaders of our nation, and certainly we continue to pray for them. You know, I'm so thankful that our nation is doing as well as it is now. We seem like that, I think possibly in this past time a little bit here, we've been recognizing that we haven't been seeing so many people wanting to put down God and so forth, that many people have now made mention of God, and we've kind of had a couple of places open back up to allow God and prayer and so forth. And I think that's been a very good for us. I just hope that if we continue on that line, that we will, with all of our president, vice president, all the Congress, and all those, that they will all come together in unity and recognize that we serve a great God, and God has control over things, and we just want to do things His way and look to Him for that. So be thankful for this great nation we live in, but be thankful that we have the freedom that we have in it, and continue to pray for peace and unity for our people, the servicemen and women that are on foreign field, away from family. Pray God's comfort on them, and certainly for this church and for this community. You're a very important part of this community, and you being an encouragement to the people of this community. You coming here this morning and letting the community know that you serve a risen Savior, that you honor God who is over all, that's an encouraging even to this community. So keep on serving the Lord, keep on looking to God, and it'll keep this neighborhood in a better condition than it ever has been before. Look to God, things does happen. And again, with
my brother John,
okay, thank you. Thank you. Many things are happening across the nation, and now we're getting springtime, and summertime is coming in, and there's going to be a lot of activity. People will be stirring here and there and doing a lot of wonderful things. So just be in prayer for that. And a lot of young people attending proms and graduations and so forth, and just be a praying that God will bless those young people in a great way, that they'll raise up to honor God and to rejoice in the salvation of through Christ Jesus. So much to be praying for, but yet there's so much to be thankful for. We're so thankful for your prayers for us. Omer is, myself. I'm so thankful. I had the thing I told you last week. We haven't got an answer back. The doctor will probably call tomorrow and either have a meeting with us and see where we go from there. But it's so good to have people praying for one another, and that is a tremendous help. That's tremendous comfort. And so continue to do that for each other. And so as we come to our prayer time, realizing we have one that we can go to that controls all things and has His hand in the working of the church.
For prayer hymn, we'll be using number 415, singing the first and last verse, and Benny will have her prayer. It's all stand.
Take time to be holy, be dark with the Lord, abide in Him always, and be on His word. Make friends of God's children, help those who are weak. Forgetting and nothing is blessing to see.
Together and go to God in prayer. Dear God, how gracious you are. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your tender love. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for providing and watching over and caring for us in such a wonderful way that you do. So we come this morning, Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we have a God who is the only one true living God, the wonderful Savior that we have in Christ Jesus, redeemed us from the penalty of sin, given us hope of eternal life. We thank you for the hope that we have through Christ. Father God, we're thankful for each person present here this morning. We know them being here demonstrates their love for you and your Son Jesus, their desire to see Christianity flourish in this community and across the nation. So Heavenly Father, what we do and what we say, we pray that you'll use us in a great way to Heavenly Father, that you will recognize that you will be honored. The Lord Jesus Christ will be lifted up, that many people would be drawn to him even this day. Forgive us where we fall short, dear God, I pray. Strengthen our walk with Christ. Help us to do those things approving to your sight. Pray, Heavenly Father, your blessing upon each one present here today. And I pray that you would bless them in such a wonderful way, that Heavenly Father, that they'll just have to pour part of their blessings out on others that are in need of that. So, dear God, we just thank you. We don't have the words enough to say, to express our really thankfulness, but take, Heavenly Father, what we are and who we are, and we're thankful to be here and to be a part of your great kingdom. Help us, Heavenly Father, to go forth in it this day, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
The invitation hymn be number 361, 361. At this time, we'll part bring us this.
Kathleen and choir, powerful.
Little group, pretty powerful, aren't they?
That's great. Powerful message there.
Thank you for that.
For you folks who are reading through the Bible with us this year, we've
been last week and so we've been in the Chronicles,
got out of the Kings and into the Chronicles. And I don't know whether you do it or not, whether you, as you read through there, if you pencil down, if you hit something that you want to go back and kind of go over again or something, or to keep in mind, it's a good idea to kind of just keep your pencil and pad and say, well, I want to look at that farther and so forth. And so this morning I do that, and I have this one subject this morning I'd like to share with you. A few years ago, I shared from this passage, and I really didn't do it justice as I thought about it later, and I won't be able to do it justice this morning. I really would like to take some time
have a series of this passage, because it breaks down into four, and we get four messages out of there. But I want to just encourage you, and I hope to give you some thoughts to think about, some things to think about, and encourage you in this passage this morning. And how many of you noticed the prayer of Jabez as you read through First Chronicles? And if you notice there, and I won't read them because I pronounced a bunch of those names in chapter 4, but it starts there, it talks about the sons of Judah and on down, and for eight verses it goes with the son of this one and who's the wife of that one and so forth. And then in verse 9, if you notice there, it does not give Jabez's relation of any way. It doesn't say he's the son of anybody, which we know he is. It doesn't know who, you know, where he came from or whatever, but it just simply says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Now, I know a lot of people looks at that prayer in different ways. I know that Bruce Wilkerson wrote this little book, Jabez Prayer. I don't know, maybe some of you had it, I don't know. I don't remember buying one out of suspicion, out of just wanted to see what it said and what he said about it. I couldn't find it when I was getting ready for this message here. I might have thrown it away because I really didn't like what people was using it for. And it has been used in the wrong way. So I want to share with you some thoughts this morning about this prayer and what it really is. And we won't get the whole concept, but I hope it'll be enough for you to look at it and think about it and use it in a way that will be helpful to you. But anyhow, if you remember that Bruce Wilkerson wrote this, and that thing sold over 10 million copies right away. And if you would use that little book that he wrote in the proper way, and maybe in the way I think that he meant it most, it would be very helpful for you. But if you use it in the way that many preachers set forth with it today and has since it came out, you would be in great danger. And I'll try to maybe throw a couple of those things in as we go along. I don't know, you know, as we come down there and we run into Jabez, isn't it something? Somehow or another, the writer of Chronicles there stopped and wrote those two verses about Jabez. Now, he was naming, and then after that, the 10th verse, he gets back into naming people. There must be something very special about that Jabez that he would take that time to stop and write about him. That's all we know about him. That's all is said about him. Two verses, and we don't know. I do not believe that prayer, as some people use it, is for personal and profiting and getting of all sorts of things and all riches, as some people use that for. It is a promise if you pray that prayer every day, you will gain from it. And I think that any prayer that you pray that is in accordance with God's will and ask for it, you will prosper from that. You will benefit from that. We benefit from the prayers that you give here even today, and we will benefit from those prayers that has been given here today. So it's very beneficial to pray. Sometimes it's how we use those, and this morning when we're looking at this prayer, we want to look at how it's used a little bit. It certainly is not Christian to believe that, you know, the main object of our life is to gain wealth. To see how much you can pile up. To see how much you can own. That, to me, is non-Christian. In fact, Jesus gives a tremendous warning about that.
He says, if a man could gain the whole world and lose his soul, what would he profit? So we see that riches of this world is not the goal of Christians. We know that that's the one thing of the world. Those of the world, seems like today, wants to possess all they can and make all they can and pile up all they can. That's not Christian life. I do not believe the prayer of Jabez is a prayer simply to promote prosperity. And I know that has been set that away ever since it came out by many preachers. So let's look at that prayer just for a few minutes here and a couple of things. Who is Jabez? As I said, he just appears there. Nothing before, nothing after. He just appears there. Who is he? I don't know. We know a little about Jabez. But these two verses tell us a lot about Jabez. It tells us about who he is and such. It speaks of Jabez. Besides his brothers, all we know is that he had brothers. Besides his parents, we know he had brothers. Now it says that he was more honorable than his brothers. Now I've heard preachers teach that he came from a dysfunctioning family because the brothers were not honorable. That doesn't say that. I read that as, and I want to believe that this is the way the case is, that the brothers are honorable. The only thing is that Jabez is more honorable. And, of course, that comes from seeking God, as we'll see. Now, I think it's very fair to say that he or she is more honorable than he or she sometimes. That does not degrade the one who is said not to be as honorable. That doesn't make someone high and holy that is honorable. If you want to be more honorable, you just get in a better relationship with God. And that he will honor you. And I wish I had time to talk about the honor of God. And maybe sometime we will if we ever get that opportunity again. God honors his people. He honors you. Just think of what he's been doing for you. If he didn't honor you, you wouldn't have, you wouldn't be as you are today. So if you want to be more honorable than your brother, and that's not to say, okay, I'm more holy than he or she, that's not what that says. If you want God to bless you so that you can be a blessing to others, you are going to be more honorable than one who does not. And you will be more honored of God than one who does not. Now, by the way we read this, I believe that he came from a very functional family and that they had influence. Some way, somehow it says Jabez had a lot of influence somehow, some way. God would not have just picked him out and put him there just for nothing. There is a town called Jabez. And I don't know, when I read that, I wonder whether that town was named after Jabez or whether Jabez was named after that town. I don't know. I read where the commentators say that Jabez possibly could have been a Jewish scribe. And they say in his older years that he did the work of scribes. And they say that Jabez, the town of Jabez, is where many scribes lived. And so there is a thought that they named that place after Jabez because he was a leader in the scribes. I don't know that. That just comes from information that I don't get from the Bible, but it could be very true. There's some connection there, what I do not know. Adam Clark is a commentator on the gospel, and he says that Jabez was called Othniel, who was a judge, and then they named him Jabez, and Othniel is mentioned back in Joshua 15 and 17 as a judge. Judges 3, 9, and 11 talks about Othniel, but I cannot get from the scripture anywhere And I'm not too smart, but they say that he might have been that. I can't get any connection between Othniel and Jabez at all. So I don't connect him back there. I just don't know too much about him. Don't know exactly all about him at all, but I know he's there. And I know what is said about him. And so let's think, what this prayer is not, you see. What this prayer is not. The prayer has been used by so many, and I think probably most of you are familiar. How many of you are familiar with the Jabez prayer type of thing and what's going across the nation, how people have misused that? So the prayer has been used by some preachers to teach that what they call the prosperity gospel. But listen, friends, I tell you, if you just love the Lord and if you serve the Lord, you'll prosper. You don't have to have somebody special getting you there. You can get there yourself. But this, they say this is a prosperity gospel. And to me, it is a blasphemy for what some says about this prayer. And it is a blasphemy, I believe, for what some say this prayer is. And I've heard preachers use these words, and you probably have if you have heard much of the prosperity preachers preaching. And they use words like name it and claim it gospel. Isn't that something that you would talk about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and put it in such a way, name it and claim it gospel. And some of them even said and used the words blab it and grab it gospel. I think that's blasphemy to speak of the gospel in that manner. And others say, you know, they describe it as the glorious gospel, the prosperity gospel, the positive confession theology thing. Creflo Dollar writes, and I quote this, he writes, and you can read it. And he writes, when we pray, believing that we have already received what we are praying, God has, this is what he writes, God has no choice but to make our prayers come true, come to pass. It is a key to getting results as a Christian, he says. But I have to say, Mr. Dollar, I take that to be blasphemy against my great God. He is not a genie in the bottle, as they put him forth to be. They believe this prayer was recorded for an example for us to pray, and it would bring prosperity to our lives. We would have riches and abundance and great possessions. That's the way they set forth this prayer. But friends, I know some very dedicated Christians that serve the Lord in a tremendous way, yet they live right on the edge of poverty. Now, if this be true, if we could pray this prayer every day and use it as what a tool, as they use it, to getting things from God or making God to give us what we want, the world would be filled with riches, wouldn't it? Overflowing with riches. Because if that was happening, look what would be happening. You know, I don't know how this prayer has affected many other people, but I do know it made Bruce Wilkerson very rich. But used in the wrong way, used in the right way, I believe it's very profitable to us. But it's not a prayer just to get something from God. This prayer is not a game. Who wants to be a millionaire? So, what is the prayer of Jabez? I believe that it teaches us here that it is a very deep relationship with God. If you want to be blessed, my friend, you develop a deep relationship with God. It is through your relationship with God that you have access and obtain from God. I'm not saying it in a sense that you can just get what you want, and I'll share that on down the line here. But it is a deep relationship. Look, what's he saying? He says, he's speaking to who? The God of Israel. He's speaking to the Creator God. He's speaking to the God who is the God of all good and perfect gifts. He is speaking to the God who has control over this universe. Jehovah God, the providing God. And he speaks of him. Listen to what he says here. Jabez is more honorable. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. He called on Jehovah God, the one true living God. I believe when it says he called upon him, he had such a deep relationship that he could just speak to God in such a wonderful way. It's just like you speaking to your Father here on earth. You have a relationship and you can freely and boldly speak to Father here on earth. And he had that relationship. I would that every Christian would have a deep relationship with God. A deep relationship. Jabez had that. So it teaches us, I think, that he had it. And if he had it, we could have it. This prayer was not just a prayer to get something from God. This prayer is evidence of a deep relationship with God. He knew where his blessings come from. He knew the hand that held those blessings for him. And so he prayed to Jehovah God, the God of Israel. It is a prayer for God to be with him, keep him. He said that thy hand would be with me and keep me from evil. Is that all right? Isn't that all right to pray that way? I think it is. It's all right to pray. It's not wrong to pray for God to be with you. What's wrong with it? Shouldn't we all pray, God be with us today, through this day? I like the little prayer that they teach the children, you know, that when they go to bed at night, you know, as I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before the day, I pray my soul to take, you know. And so we should want his presence all the time, you know. It's not wrong to pray for God to be with you. And so I can say that's a good point of that prayer, to realize that Jabez had that thought. In fact, you know, to keep him from evil. Isn't that what the psalmist says to him, you know? Don't we repeat that quite often, Psalms 23 and what about verse 4 or so? That David said, you know, lo that I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. You know, and I want to tell you, friends, I want the Lord to be with me when I go through the valleys, don't you? So it's very fair, isn't it? I can't criticize that prayer for that. That's a good thing that Jesus was praying for God to be with him, God to help him. Deliver from evil. There's a lot of evil going on today. And listen, when you set out to go to journey to work in the morning, when you start down that highway, you want to know, you want to be able to say, Lord, be with me as I go. I'm entering into the evil. And we really are. Be with me and guide me through that. Protect me from that. And if Jabez wanted that, I really want to ask him to be with me. I want to ask him to keep me from evil. That's for sure. Now, Jabez asked the Lord to bless him. And that's what I want to kind of look at this morning. Is it right for you to ask God to bless you? We talk about and we pray a lot, and you hear prayers here, and it's all right. We pray, you know, as even I think I prayed a while ago, that the Lord would bless each and every one here. Nothing wrong with that, is there? But you know, I think sometimes that we fail to pray for ourselves because we think that's not proper. That's not proper. We just kind of feel that, you know, we don't deserve it, maybe. Jabez prayed, bless me. Bless me, he says. Let not my experience grieve me. I don't know what the thing here with his mother. I do know that back in the beginning, God told women they were going to suffer in childbearing.
And he says that, and the scripture says there, that his mother called him Japheth, which means grief. Some way or another in the birthing of him, there was more trouble than normal. I don't know. I don't know what that means, really. But whatever he says, he's saying, bless me so that I won't suffer what my name means. That I won't suffer the grief here, he says. That I won't suffer the grief of sins. These, you know, that I might produce in my life. He doesn't want to be grieved with those and be suffering those. What is it you would like for God to bless you with? Japheth asked there, you bless me. You know, I think it's very fair. And you know, I really want to encourage you to pray for God to bless you. Now, I think it's proper to pray for things that you want, as long as they're according to God's will and they're very needful in your life. But then on the other hand, we do not have to pray for the necessary things we can be thankful for. I don't pray for my daily bread. I take it with thanksgiving. And I pray with thanksgiving for what he has done and what he gives me. Many, you saw, Jesus said, you know, he was talking about clothing, he was talking about your life, and he says, you know, he said, the Father knows what you need. And he said, if you seek first the kingdom of God, these things will be added to you. What he was talking about was clothing, a roof over your head, food for your food and shelter, and so forth. He was talking about those things. He knows what you need. But what do you want? Do you pray for what you want? Not what you lust, but what you want. You know, take it back with your father. Your father birthed you, your father and your mother, and your father provided for you. I hope your father provided for you. So my father provided well for our family. There was always roof over our head, and clean, warm bed, and food on the table. What more could you ask for? They provided that. But Dad didn't give me all that I wanted. But you know, if I wanted something, I think I told some of the people about wanting this goat so bad. This goat was as big as a Shetland pony. Yeah, he was. And you could ride him, you could drive him. I mean, I really wanted that goat, and this guy had him for sale. And see, my dad didn't come to me and say, I'm going to buy you this goat. He was providing my needs. But I said, Dad, I want that goat. And you know what? Dad got me that goat. Now, if I hadn't said, now, Dad, I want that goat, I wouldn't have got that goat, would I? And me and all my friends there in the neighborhood wouldn't have had all the joy we had with that goat. We had a lot of fun. But see, if my father will provide all that I need, if my father, earthly father, will provide what I need, and then if he will give me what I want, that is good and proper, let me ask you, how much more will your heavenly Father, who is the giver of all good and perfect gifts, give to you who ask? James says, you know, you ask, you have not because you ask not. And is it right to ask God to bless you? What, you remember Jacob, and he was had his head on a stone all night, and an angel appeared to him. Somebody said that stone caused him to have bad dreams, but no, I don't think so. The angel appeared to him, and he wrestled with that angel all night. And you remember what the angel told Jacob told the angel? I will not turn you loose until what? You bless me. To you. It's not wrong to ask to be blessed. In fact, I think possibly that we fail to receive from God what he has for us, what he will bless us with. You know, Malachi kind of puts us this way. And he's speaking about the support of the church and such, and that I think you can use it in a different way too. But Malachi says, you know, if you bring your tithes and offerings in the storehouse, well, God will open the windows, pour out blessings you can't have, handle. In fact, you can't get them all on a 18-wheel drive, a truck. You can't. Yeah. You just blessings you can't hold. Let me ask you, do you think that you're missing blessings that God has for you simply because you're not asking for them? I really believe we do. Here's a story. I'll use Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones died and went to heaven. And Peter met him at the Golden Gate. And Peter said, well, it's my job today, Mr. Jones, to show you around heaven. And he starts showing around heaven. He showed him the tree of life there by this river of life. Showed him the golden streets, you know, that looked like gold. Showed him all. But Mr. Jones noticed over there on the side, he said, a tremendous building, a great, large, tremendous building. And he asked Peter, what is that building for? No windows in it, just one door, and it had a tremendous lock on it. So Peter walked him on around heaven and showed Mr. Jones about heaven. Come back by, and there's that tremendous building. And so Peter said, well, you're so curious about what's in there, I'll show you. So he took the big lock off and opened the door, and Mr. Jones went in, and he noticed shelves clear to the top, all over that building, shelves. And Mr. Jones started looking, and these boxes that were on the shelf were something like this, and they had red ribbons around them. And he noticed people's names on it, and he took to Peter and said, Peter, have I got a box in here like that? Peter said, you sure do have. And he ran until he found his box, and he took it outside, and he took that ribbon off and opened up, and Peter heard that awesome sigh that he had heard many times before. Because you see, the box was full of blessings that Mr. Jones had never asked for. He never asked for. There's blessings in heaven. And sometimes we just have to ask for them. Just have to ask for them. Do you wonder maybe that you've got a box up there? Blessings in it that you never asked for? Folks, I'm here to tell you this morning, from the scripture, I am convinced that Father God, in all of his love, wants you to ask for what you want. That is right and according to his will. Now, I don't think Jabez was, it says here, to the next one I had on there was to enlarge his coast. I do not think that Jabez, you know, when Joshua allotted out all the land, everybody had their land. And as some people in America got land grants and so forth. And one of the things they said, you know, you've got to go in and claim that land, and you got to run those people out and take that land. It very may well be that Jabez is praying, help me to get, you know, get rid of them. Help me to increase my boundary because it's littered up with these Canaanites. Help me to get them out of here so that I'd expand. Could have been that way. I don't know. And it could have been that Jabez just had a little place. For example, think about this guy. Maybe you have a garden, or maybe you just got an acre plot, and you just can't raise enough on that to provide for the family. And would it be wrong to ask God to increase your barter and maybe give you another acre so that you would then be able to raise and to support your family, or to have something to help someone else with? I don't think that Jabez is sitting on a 1,000-acre dude ranch and asking for another 1,000 acres. I don't think that prayer says that. But if you listen to the prosperity preachers, they'll tell you that. The more you ask, the more you have, you'll prosper. That prayer is not for that. But that prayer is for you, an example for you to get what God has for you. It's nothing wrong. You know, if I believe what he was saying, could he be saying, increase my intellect, increase my knowledge, increase my understanding, increase my ministry. I'm praying that right now. Lord, bless my ministry. I haven't reached some people that I want to reach. And I'm praying, Lord, bless my ministry. I think every one of us in here ought to be, we all are ministers in some way or another. And I think one thing that you should pray, bless me in my ministry, in my encouraging others, in my good deeds to others who help whatever. I really believe that that prayer has that in mind more than anything else. Bless me so I can bless somebody else. Send me to somebody today that needs to hear the glorious gospel in the right sense. Send somebody to me that is in need to know what I know, what little I know about the wonderful love of God. I think that's what he's praying for. Increase all these things that will honor you and benefit others around you. You know, what a shame for someone to think that that prayer means, boy, if I pray that prayer, that I'll just have money in the bank and I'll have two or three cars in the drive and, you know, and a big house and all that. That prayer is not for that. But I don't think it's wrong for God for you to pray for some of the things that you need in your life, like those. If you use the right thoughts, the right manner, it's right to pray for God to bless you. And I think, friend, if you don't pray tomorrow morning or today, but if you don't pray tomorrow morning, God bless me, you're missing something. Bless me. And you know, you don't have to pray for items. Again, I say, you know, the Lord knows what you need, you and I need. And he'll provide those. He's done told us he'll do that, see? And I'm not going to God and say, okay, God, you told me that I'd prosper, not do this, not as a demand. That is a terrible thought to do God that way, to think of God that way. God doesn't owe me nothing. I owe it all to God. But I'm not ashamed to ask, bless me, God. You see, if I'm not blessed, how could I bless anybody else? If I'm not blessed with understanding of the gospel, how can I share that gospel with somebody else that they might have a right relationship with God, that they might have eternal life? So I pray, increase my knowledge of your word. Increase my abilities to minister to people. You should pray that prayer also every day. Pray that God will bless you. Now, if you only prayed that way, if you didn't pray for individual things, just pray, Lord, bless me. And you know what would happen? He'll bless you. And why is it good to do that? Because he knows more about what you need than you do. God knows more about what I need today than I do. And I'm crying out, God, just bless me. And as life goes on, you will then experience, because he will give you, he will do for you those things that are necessary for you to be the Christian person you ought to be, and you will be blessed that you can bless somebody else. So don't be afraid. In fact, be a little bit bold. In fact, the Hebrew writer says, we approach the throne of God with boldness. And what does that mean? We approach the throne of God with confidence. If I ask the Lord to bless me, I'm confident that he's going to bless me. I don't know exactly how he might bless me. If in the morning I get up and I'm in my prayer, Lord, bless me, I won't know until sometime during the day maybe that God has blessed me in a certain way and it's been good for me and somebody else. Pray that way. I think it is a good example, looked at in the right way, and there's nothing wrong to pray, God bless me.
God bless me. And look at that prayer. This deep relationship that he had with God. And he prayed to him. And I believe he asked for things that would benefit, yes, him, but it would benefit others, that he would honor God by doing. And because he was honorable, and because he prayed for those things in that way, what's the last line say? And God granted him his request. And may you in the morning pray, God bless me. And may you receive your request. Let us pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we look into your word and we can't understand all things, but Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless us with understanding, that you would help us to see clearer, that you would help us, Heavenly Father, expand our ministry, that you would help us, Heavenly Father, to get into your word and expand our knowledge of your good and perfect will for our lives. And we know, Heavenly Father, that you will bless us and use us in a good way, a tremendous way, to help others. We pray, Heavenly Father, not for all the riches of the world. We just pray, Heavenly Father, that you will bless us. And we will look tomorrow, and before the day's over, we'll realize that you have blessed us in a way that we never even thought about. That's the kind of God you are. Now we ask once again, you would bless each one of the people present here in this audience, that they, Heavenly Father, will be blessed in such a way that your blessings has to be poured out on others. In Jesus' name we ask it. The big clue here to that passage is this. It's a deep relationship with God through Jesus Christ, his son. If you do not have that relationship, that type of relationship, you can have it by coming and receiving him in your life today. Sing the first verse as we stand and sing together. For taking time to be in the Lord's house here with us today. It's really encouraging to see people who love the Lord and are not afraid to demonstrate their faith in a great God that we have and we serve. We hope that you've been encouraged here by the other people that you've been here in this worship service together. You who are visiting, we just welcome you and we invite you back at any time. And may God really richly bless you. I'll say for each and every one, might God bless you this coming week in ways that you have never even expected before. He'll do that. Sherry, would you dismiss us in God's love?
Our Heavenly Father, again, we're just so thankful that for this beautiful day you provided for us. Thankful for this building you allowed us to come into and worship you with truth and spirit. Sing songs of your grace and glory, Father. We're just so thankful that we have the many blessings you give us each and every day of our lives. Be with Brother Benny as he's had some physical problems and over as well. We pray a special blessing upon them and guide the doctors and bless everyone, my Father, that went in special effort to be here today. I know it's sometimes a chore, but we're thankful for the visitors that come with us today. Hope we had a blessing from the service today. Be with us as we depart from this place, go to our respectful homes, have a beautiful and prosperous week, and guide and guard direct each and every one of us, Father, and forgive us for the short mistakes we make. For the sake we pray in your Son's heavenly name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jerry.